Take your Bibles this morning, and we begin with Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6. Last week we started our studies this quarter or this three months on men who changed the world. We talk about the apostles, men who changed the world. And I'm glad to know that, you know, it's an amazing thing how God has chosen to use men, isn't it? He's chosen to use mankind to get his word to the world. He's chosen to use us as inadequate as we are, as sinful as we are. When he saves us, he wants to use us. And it's just amazing to me how he does that. But we see in the scriptures, as we look at these men who changed the world, how God used them. And God wants to use you as an individual. You have a place in God's work if you're saved. First of all, you have to be a child of God. Once you are, God has a work for you to do. There's something all of us can do, and we need to be busy doing that. And last week we talked about men who changed the world. We're going to be talking about those men. As we get into it today, we're going to talk about one of those men also. Let's pray. Father, thank you for life. Thank you for health. Lord, thank you that we can come to your house today physically. God, I pray our hearts are ready to hear from you. Lord, that we're in tune with you, and God, that we have a desire to want to grow and the knowledge and wisdom of your word, God, that we might be better vessels for you as we live here on this earth. Lord, thank you for each one that's come. We do pray for those that are sick, those that are out. Brother Tyson, Brother Tower, thank you for Brother Dan being here today and others in our church, Lord, that are not feeling good. I'll pray for them, that you bless them. Have your will and way now in the service to God, and may the Holy Spirit be our teacher. As we look into the Word of God today, we can find that we need to strengthen us for this week. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to face this week, but Lord, I'm so glad that I know that you're going to be with me, whatever I do face. And God, we just trust you now to teach us from your Word that we might be what we ought to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 and verse 13. We read last week, I'm going to read it again today. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. And it came to pass in those days that he, that is Jesus, went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. If Jesus needed to pray to God, his Father, how much more do we need to pray to Jesus and God? I mean, this is that's a thing we find throughout the scriptures that Jesus did. He set himself aside to pray in a private place to his heavenly Father for that he needed to do what he needed to do. And notice he says in verse 13, when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. Now his disciples are his followers, his learners, we said last week, his students, if you please, those that wanted to learn about him, his disciples. He called his disciples unto him, and of them he chose 12. Whom also he named apostles. He named apostles. So 12 of his disciples he has named apostles now. And last week we talked about those. Apostles is one who is sent forth as a messenger, as a delegate, commissioned by Jesus Christ for a specific task. First of all, we see they were chosen directly by the Lord himself. We see this here in verse 13. Jesus chose his apostles himself. No one chose them for them. But notice he chose them after he had spent all night in prayer with his Father to get direction from his Father. You see, he realized that he needed the Father to make the decision he was about to make. And therefore, we find he doing that. So these, first of all, apostles were chosen directly by the Lord himself. Secondly, we see they were endued with signs and gifts. Turn over to Mark chapter number 3. Matthew, Mark, turn back, I should say, to Mark chapter 3. These apostles were special people. They were called, they were chosen, they were prepared, and they were commissioned. In Mark chapter 3, we find here the Lord Jesus talks about their gifts and their signs. Mark chapter number 3, look at verse number 13. It says, And he goeth up into a mountain, and called unto him whom he would, and they came unto him, And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that they might send them forth to preach, the Bible says here. In verse 15, and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. They were to preach. They were to have power for sickness and also to cast out devils. So these were the men that Jesus had called, chosen, and prepared. Now he is commissioned them to do a work for him. We also said last week that these apostles were eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Christ. Apostle had to be an eyewitness of the resurrection of Christ in order for them to be called an apostle. Now, all of the apostles were disciples, but not all disciples were apostles. Those only that were chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. We see the apostles were chosen from among all the disciples by, again, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we said last week this was an office that was not to continue, to pass on to others. When all these apostles died from Pentecost, they all died. That was the end of the apostles. There were no more apostles assigned. The apostolic age was over with. So we see apostles were called, they were chosen, they were prepared, and they were commissioned. So we're talking about the apostles now. Now, the question is asked, why, Brother Keith, are you studying about the apostles? What is so different about the apostles? Well, nothing's really different about them. They're just ordinary people. But as we look at the apostles today, we begin with one. As we study them, we're going to see how God will and can oftentimes use this ordinary people. God uses ordinary people. He don't always use somebody that is so different, but he also uses people that are just plain simple ordinary. As we look at these apostles, we'll see that. We also see that we need to study these because we'll see some practical lessons here, especially in this first one about soul winning. Soul winning is very important. And as we look at the first apostle today, we're going to see some practical lessons that we can learn about winning souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, with that being said, we're going to study these men because we're going to see how God uses ordinary people. He will, and he often does. Not always, but often he does. And we're going to look at some practical lessons about soul winning. Now, so the first one, turn over to John chapter number 1. We'll look at our first apostle today in John chapter 1. Beginning with verse number 35. John 1 and verse 35. As we look at our first apostle, we're going to look at today. John 1 and verse 35. Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was, what's the next word? Andrew. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. We see here, one of them that was with him, who followed him, was Andrew. Andrew. Today we're going to look at the life of Andrew, the Apostle Andrew. Andrew was a very different person. He was a very unusual guy. We see, first of all, the name Andrew. The name Andrew means manly. Manly. That's what his name means, we see. We see also in verse 44, look at verse 44, we see where he's from. Verse 44 says, now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So what city was Andrew from? Bethsaida. He was a native of the city of Bethsaida in Galilee. We also see he was the son of Jonas. And, of course, he was the brother of Simon Peter. So we're looking at Andrew today, the apostle Andrew, his life. What kind of person was he? We're going to look at his as we see here. We're going to look at him, first of all, we see in verse number John chapter 1, verse 35 through verse 40, we read here, that he was a disciple of John the Baptist. He was a disciple of John the Baptist. He was following John the Baptist. And we see here that it was John the Baptist that introduced the Lamb of God to Andrew. So we see here, Andrew was led to receive Jesus by John pointing him out as the Lamb of God to him. We see he brought his, brother Simon to Jesus by telling him that he had found the Messiah in verse 41 of chapter number 1. He first finds his own brother Simon and says to them, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. So Andrew, he's the one, again, that was a disciple of John the Baptist. He first found Christ, and then he went to his brother and told him. And after that, they both, after he told him about the Messiah, they both, as fishermen, they went back to their task of fishing. They went back fishing, you see, and they fished until they found out that John the Baptist had been in prison. And then we see then that Jesus, in Mark chapter 1, verse 14 through 18, we find that Jesus came and appeared to them and asked them to follow him, and they did. So we see Andrew. Andrew is a very unique man. We see here Andrew, first of all, some people, we see he was the first missionary for the cause of Christ. He went out telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Andrew is a very important individual in the Word of God. We don't have much about him as far as Scripture is concerned, but nevertheless, he was a very special person in the life of Jesus and what he did for Jesus when he came to Christ and found him as his Savior. So we're going to look at Andrew today. First of all, we're going to look at Andrew. Some people call him the saint, Saint Andrew. We're going to look at Andrew. Not only that, but we're going to look at him as the man behind the scenes, or the second fiddle, so to speak. The man behind the scenes. Then we're going to look at him as the soul winner. And then we're going to look at him, say, as the apostle. So Andrew is a very interesting character to read and study about in the Word of God. So first of all, we find Andrew the saint. And we know a saint is not necessarily just a super Christian. A saint is not just someone who's died and going to be with the Lord. Okay? But we know a saint is someone that has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted him as their Savior. Paul identifies us all as saints in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 10. If you're saved today, if you're born again, you're a saint of God. You're a saint of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter was, rightly so, a saint. He believed on Jesus Christ and had trusted him as his Savior. So we see, first of all, that Andrew, the saint, or Saint Andrew, became a saint the same way you and I did. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted him as his Savior. Therefore, he became a saint. He became a saint as far as God is concerned. Now, we know also, not only was Andrew the saint, he's referred to as a saint, but he's also referred to as a second fiddle, or if you please, a man behind the scene. You know, it's amazing. It takes a lot of people in God's work behind the scene to get God's work done, doesn't it? I mean, it really does. A lot of people do things that you and I never know are done for God, but God does. And Andrew was that kind of individual. He had a very popular brother. Very popular brother was Peter. Of course, we'll talk about him later on. We also see, as Jesus lists the apostles in the Gospels, the first one that was always on the list was who? Peter. Peter was number one. He was always first on the list. And all the time that Jesus listed the disciples. But we see that Andrew met Christ first. And then he brought his brother to Peter, to Jesus. Peter's name is found throughout the New Testament. We know he wrote epistles. We know that he preached sermons. 3,000 people were saved in Pentecost because of his preaching there. But Andrew is only mentioned three times in the gospel. Only three times do we find anything about Andrew. But Andrew is a very important individual. He's a born-again child of God. That's what makes him special. Amen? He's a Christian. He's saved, okay? Playing the second fiddle is very important, folks. It is very important, you see. Everybody can't be number one, but everybody can be something for Jesus. Something for Jesus, you see. So we see, first of all, as far as him playing the second fiddle or the man behind the scene, had it not been for Andrew behind the scenes, there might have never been an Apostle Peter. Might have never been Apostle Peter. Because Andrew was concerned about his brother when he got saved, and he first findeth him. He went after his brother and let him meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone said, and I believe this, Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of the past, someone said that he, before he got saved, he was visiting, he went to a church one Wednesday night, and he went into church, and he heard this man speak. And this man preached the message, and the man, Charles Spurgeon, at that time, he went forward and he got saved. Charles Spurgeon found out that the man that preached the message was not the pastor of the church. He was a substitute, see, but he was important. Because he preached the message, and look who got saved. Charles Spurgeon got saved. And look how God used Charles Spurgeon throughout his life, an entire life, you see. So we see here that Charles Spurgeon got saved because of the substitute preacher. When the preacher of the church, pastor of the church was not there, he got saved. He got saved, you see. So we see it's very, very important. Where God wants you to be, do it well. Wherever that is. Wherever God wants you to be at, do it well, you see. You may be second fiddle, you may be 50th fiddle. Wherever you are, it doesn't matter. You're God's child doing things for God. That's what matters, folks. That's all that matters. It really does, you know. It's kind of like, you know, a good illustration. Another illustration is this, God going through the forest, looking at the trees and the plants that he had made. You know, God made them all, you know. And he first approached the pine tree. The pine tree had needles, small limbs, but yet needles, you know. And the pine tree said, you know, I wish I was an oak tree. I like the oak tree. Oak tree has big limbs and big leaves, don't you know, and all this kind of stuff. I'd rather be an oak tree than a pine tree. Well, he went to the oak tree and the verse. The oak tree said, you know, I wish I was a pine tree. I like the needles on the pine trees and the small limbs, you know. Not satisfied, you know. Everybody was unhappy. All the trees in the forest was unhappy. And all the flowers. And finally he approached the little daisy. And the daisy was all smiling, you know. And the daisy said, you know, I'm glad I'm a daisy. You put me here. I want to be the very best daisy that I can be. You know? You might be a daisy in the big midst of a forest, and so may I, but you can still be the best God wants you to be. And that's what's important, folks. That's what's important here. So we see Andrew, you know, he wasn't number one. But as far as God's concerned, he was, because he was important in the work of God and what he did, you see. I want to be an Andrew, don't you? I want to be an Andrew. I just want to be somebody that God can use. God can direct me and help me to be what he wants me to be, you know. Not focusing on being number one, you know. Because God has a place for all of us. He really does. Someone said, the instrument that needs to be played in most churches today is the second fiddle. The second fiddle. That one that you don't normally hear. So we see Andrew again. The saint, the man behind the scenes. Number three, we'll look at Andrew. This is very important. The soul winner. The soul winner. We see, first of all, each time Andrew is mentioned in the Bible, you know what he's doing? He's bringing someone to Jesus. All three times you find him in the Bible, he's bringing someone to Jesus. He's a soul winner. He's concerned about men and women, boys and girls. No. First of all, turn to John chapter 1. You're already there. Look at verse 38. John chapter 1, verse 38. As these two disciples were following Jesus, Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master." Where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now notice, verse 41, he first findeth who? His own brother Simon. He first findeth his own brother Simon, he says, and said to them, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Verse 42 says, And he what? He brought him who? To who? To Jesus. Andrew brought Simon to Jesus, you see. He brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which being interpreted is a stone. So we see here, Andrew, the soul winner, he brings his own brother, first of all, to Jesus Christ. His own brother he brings to Jesus Christ. Now, turn over to John chapter 6. Remember, every time you see Andrew in the Bible, he's bringing somebody to Jesus. I remember years ago, when I was in Bible school, I was working in a church then, during the weekend, for my Christian service. And there was a man in that church that was a devout soul winner. I'm talking about back in the 70s now. He was a devout soul winner. And I guarantee every service, Sunday morning service, he brought somebody down the aisle that was saved. Every Sunday morning, somebody, he had won to Christ that week. He was determined by God's help to be a soul winner. He was concerned about people in the community. He'd always bring somebody to Jesus. Always bring somebody to Jesus. My, what a testimony. Here in John chapter 6, look at verse number 1. John chapter 6, verse number 1. Talk about Andrew here now. John 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. My, what a following, just to know that people followed him because of their sicknesses. And Jesus went into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Jesus liked the mountains, didn't he? And the one I like the mountains too. Do you like the mountains? I like the mountains too, okay? And then the verse number 4. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Wherefore shall we buy meat that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. That is, Jesus knew what he was going to do. Philip answering him, 200 pence worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Then one of his disciples, what's his name? And who? Andrew. Verse number 8. One of his disciples named Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Jesus, said to him, There is a who? A lad here, which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there were much grass in the place, so the men sat down in numbers about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise all the fishes, as much as they would. When they were all filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments and remain, that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now, that's a miracle, folks. But Peter is here, and Peter brings this lad to Jesus with the food. Andrew, again, bringing somebody to Jesus. He pointed out, Here's a lad I know is here. And he brought this lad to Jesus because he had sufficient food for all those that were there. God was going to take it. God was going to bless it. He was going to multiply it and give all the people there what they needed. And the Bible says they had 12 baskets left over. 5 loaves and 2 fishes, folks. That won't even feed your family, will it? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But Jesus multiplied it, fed 5,000 plus. 5,000 plus, you see. Here we see him bringing his brother. He's bringing a little lad. And then in John chapter 12, turn to John chapter 12, we see him bringing some more people to Jesus. In John chapter 12, we get verse number 20. John chapter 12, verse number 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, and was of Bethsaida and Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sirs, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come, and the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto to life eternal. We see again, here's Peter, here's Andrew bringing Greeks to Jesus. Him and Philip together, they're bringing somebody to Jesus, always bring somebody to Jesus here. This is what Andrew does, you see. He brings someone to Christ 3 different times, as you see him mentioned in the Word of God. Andrew. Now, what can we learn about soul winning here with Andrew? What can we learn about him? First of all, be sure you're saved. Be sure you're saved. There's no way you can bring people to Christ unless you know Christ yourself. You can't tell somebody about somebody you've never met, about you talked to. You may have heard about him, but until you meet him personally, you can't really be that witness that God wants us to be. So first of all, know you're saved yourself. Secondly, we see here, not only was he saved by himself, but also he went first to who? Who did Andrew go to first? Who? His brother, right. His brother. He went to his relatives first. And you say, I know what you're going to say. Relatives are the hardest people in the world to reach. Well, they are many times. But Andrew, God instructed him to go to his brother first. Now, we know Peter. Peter was loud. He was outspoken. He was aggressive. He was all these things. But for some reason, God led Andrew to go to his brother first to tell him about Jesus. You know, think about Noah building that ark 120 years, witnessing the people. People come by and mocking him, making fun of him, laughing at him and his family for what they were doing. But you know the major thing about Noah was? His family was saved. His family was saved. Everybody else was not, but he got his family saved. And that's very important, folks. If we can get our families saved, my, what a difference it would make in the world in which we live. Just our families, our loved ones. Thank God a couple weeks ago, a young man in our family got saved. Him and his girlfriend that time, they got saved a few weeks ago down here in Wilson at a church. They've been going to a little bit. Both of them got saved, got born again. And they've been wanting to get married they've been dating 4 years. Make a long story short, they got married also. Just about a week after that, something like that. You see, God wants our families to be saved. Do we want our families to be saved? You see, Andrew wanted his brother Peter to be saved. And he went to him first. He finds his brother. You remember when you got saved? I mean, when I got saved, I wanted to tell somebody that I got saved. I really did. I just couldn't stand it. Within me, it was burning. I got to tell somebody I got saved. You know? My, why not go tell somebody that your family, your relatives, your loved ones, someone that you're close to, someone that knows you, someone that you know. This is what Andrew did. He went out there and he told his brother about the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. Also, we see he went after a difficult one because of who Peter was. Again, he was loud, outspoken, very aggressive. Nevertheless, Jesus led him that way. Never fear where God leads you to talk to somebody about the Lord. If God leads you, God's going to help you. We see this here in the life of Andrew because he witnessed to his brother. He told his brother about Jesus and brought him to Jesus. My, we notice also, in doing so, he was very tactful in his approach. Look at verse 41. Again, back in John 1, verse 41, we find his approach here to his own brother as he come to him. His approach in verse number 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. He was very tactful. He was very tactful in telling Peter that we have found the Messiah. I want you to see him. I want you to meet him. I want you to meet him, you see. You know, Andrew could say, we have found the Messiah, come and see him. We can't say that. We can say, I found the Messiah, I found Christ, Christ found me, I'm saved. But we can't see, come and see him. You know who he sees them through? You and I, the church. Christ is seen through us, the believers, you see. So we see here that he was very tactful in his approach. Also, he was very friendly. He was friendly to his own brother in bringing him to Jesus and telling him about Jesus Christ. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. He must show himself friendly. It's very important that we're friendly to people when we want to talk to him about Jesus. We also see that Andrew was a new convert himself. He was a new convert himself. It's amazing. When people first get saved, they want to tell somebody about Jesus. They're excited about it because what's happened to them, aren't they? I know I was. And we find he was a new convert here. God wants all Christians to be witnesses, even new converts. New converts. He wants all of us to be a witness, you see. Illustration. What do you expect? When do you expect a candle to give out of light? When you light a candle, when do you expect that candle to give out a light? Huh? Give out of light. Not give light out, but give out of light. Okay? When you first light it, the candle, or after it burns halfway down, when do you expect it to give out of light? The light's going to always be there, isn't it? As long as the candle's burning, what I'm saying, there's going to be light. Okay? As long as the candle's burning. Well, likewise, in a new convert, there's light in a new convert. You can tell when people get saved, folks. There's a difference in the light. As long as that light's burning, you see, it's going to count for God, you see. God expects you to start letting your light shine the moment that we're saved. And God wants our light to shine the rest of our life, is what I'm saying. As long as we're alive, he wants our lights to shine. We're to be a light into a dark world, are we not? We really are. Now, very lastly, we talked about Andrew here, the saint, the man behind the scenes, the soul winner. And now we're going to look at him as the apostle. We see, first of all, that he was called with the 12 in Matthew and in Mark and also in Luke. Jesus called him, commissioned him. We see his calling. He called attention to the Lord there in feeding the fishes with the last lunch. We see he introduced Jesus to Greeks that desired to see him, desired to meet with him. We also see that he asked for further explanation with the master when he refers to his destruction of the temple. Andrew the apostle here. He continued after the ascension of Christ, he continued to be there in the upper room with them. Now, last but least, his death. How did Andrew die? He was put on the cross. But it wasn't the regular type cross. It was this kind of cross, like an X. Andrew was not nailed to the cross. He was tied to the cross with cords, tradition tells us. He hung there for 2 days, and all through those 2 days, as spectators come by, he tried to get those people to trust Christ as their Savior. That's the way he died, on the cross. Andrew. Andrew's a very special person. Now, what can we learn from Andrew? What can we learn from his life? We can learn many things. First of all, to be a true disciple, to be a true disciple, we can rest can be found in us. We can only rest in the Lord Jesus Christ as we are true disciples. Disciples trying to tell people about the Lord is the only thing that's going to really make you happy in your life as a Christian. Talk to people about Jesus. That's what Andrew did. He did. Also, no matter who you are, if you're saved, number one or number 50, you can serve God. There's something that you can do. Andrew was a man behind the scenes, but he served the Lord, didn't he not? He served the Lord. And also we see, if you're saved today, we are Christ, we should have a passion within us to tell others about Jesus. A love in us to tell others about Jesus. Andrew, what an apostle. Don't hear much about him in the Scriptures, but he's very important. He's very important to God. He's a very important example to you and I. May we learn from Andrew today and be more like him, therefore be more like Jesus. But with the next week, we're going to talk about Peter. Talk about Peter next week, the Lord willing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these men, Lord, that you've raised up in your word, God, to be examples to us and for us, Lord, that we might learn more about you and that we might learn more about how to live for you. Lord, I thank you for these apostles. I thank you, Lord, for these men that had a desire to live for you. I pray, God, you would create that within us as we go forth from this place today into the world in which we live. God, give us that passion. Give us that concern, Lord, about others as we try to live for you. Father, bless now the service we're about to go into. Thank you for each one that's here today. May your will be accomplished in all our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.